Yeah, it makes a lot of sense why starlets that started out on the Disney Channel end up becoming, well, whores.
Do they?
Towards the end. If they stay kiddie, it's a bit creepy, a 28-year-old woman doing dance moves that are sanctified for 10-year-olds.
Okay, I've got a question. Was this song post-twerking or pre-twerking?
Post. Much more post. That's the great thing about Hilary Duff's career. It could be any year. The songs are pretty much the same. She hasn't evolved her style at all, and that's why it's failed so miserably, her quote-unquote triumphant comeback. And you know what, Hillary, stay the same. All I'm saying is maybe not make the little love heart dance move where you put your two fingers together so it resembles a love heart. That's my only criticism of you. Apart from that, 99 out of 100.
So what, has she followed the failed pop star route and married like an investment banker or something as yet?
No, how Texan is this? She married a sports star who, I don't know how she didn't see that in 2 years he wouldn't have a career.
What a stupid move. Can someone explain to me why women think that's like, that's an acceptable rite of passage? You've got to get someone who will only appreciate with age. Absolutely redundant.
One thing I know for certain is he is not going to be part of the Pittsburgh Steelers when he's 90.
Unless he's Benjamin Button, then definitely
no,
go
for
it.
No, but even then he'd be a fetus. There's no possible way that that man is going to appreciate in value. You picked a dud, Hillary.
Yeah,
it should have been me. She was easily my biggest crush as a kid.
Yeah, yeah. And you would appreciate with age, because I think you get good at comedy when you're like 55, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that the rule?
Oh, at this stage of my life, in terms of like someone who's playing baseball, I reckon I'm like the towel boy that's like, someday I'll make it in the big leagues, you'll see.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
I'm at that.
No, you're college football right now. You've got certain level of appreciation, but you make fuck
yeah,
all
where's
money.
Where's the damn
yeah,
money?
Where's the damn money, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Hillary, why did you choose that? I'd really like to know what her life is like on a day-to-day basis. I can imagine it's just a really souped-up version of being a housewife. So it's having brunch at 10:30, not 11, too close to lunch, with some of her friends that maybe that Spanish chick that used to be on the Hilary Duff show.
Yeah.
It might be that chick.
Or just,
definitely not Gordo.
Do you reckon she just hangs out with like normal people now because they're the only ones that sort of give her any value?
Oh, she could be hanging out with other sports stars' wives.
But she'd be like the top dog in that sport, in that equation, because all the other sports wives would just be hot, whereas she is hot, but at the same time she used to be something.
Oh, and everyone knows her name still.
Yeah, everyone knows
her name. I'll take
that
as a win.
Yeah.
God, she's probably one down from Britney Spears. I don't know why Triple M has expressed interest in us. We are way more suited for Today FM, aren't we? Whatever happened to Hillary? Yeah. Her ass is a bit big and I love it, and the pastels work.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move on. Let's move on to more sex talk. Why does this happen? Why have we evolved into Howard Stern?
I
started off as Rush Limbaugh, now we're Howard.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, look, we can all talk about politics, but as Yilmaz so aptly put many years ago, sex, sex, money, money, power. Power is only one word, and sex comes first.
Yeah,
twice. Yeah, so everybody's been asking about the Barnaby situation. And my response to it is very measured. I've been thinking about it a lot, and my answer is, what's fucking new? Who cares? Of course powerful men have affairs.
Yeah.
Any man that has the slightest chance of an affair will do it, even with a woman that is way uglier than the woman they're currently dating. Give me a guy that wouldn't. It's just, look, we are genetically programmed. This to the three women that listen to the podcast, men are genetically... You don't understand what it's like. There's such... comedian from the noughties territory here, but it needs to be honed in again. The back of your mind, every woman, the very first thought is, with women, I'm pretty sure the first thought that they have is, he was nice. That's the first thought that they have. Mm-hmm. The very first thought that we have is, would I fuck her? And then if the answer is yes, how do I fuck her? You can't short circuit 3 million years of evolution with, yeah. But you said we'd be together forever.
and this was something that I was trying to explain to a girl recently, that I don't know if this is true for all guys, but I'm pretty sure it is. That
I'm telling you, we are chimps.
Yeah, we're all chimps. And it takes us, like, I think maybe 3 to 4 seconds to...
No, half a second.
Half a second, right? There you go. It takes us half a second to decide if we want to have sex with someone or not. And I get the feeling that for women, it constantly changes. Like, if they want to or if they don't want to.
Oh, yeah. According to sex psychologists, women... The way that they describe it to men, the way that women see attraction is like if you see a woman, it's the shallow how thing. You see this Victoria's Secret model, and then in a split second, it turns into some fat plumber. That's how women see men in terms of sexual attraction. But yeah. That's not how men see it. It's just, yup.
Yep.
That's it.
It was
it's simple. Next subject.
As aptly as the late Patrice O'Neill put it, if you ask a woman who's in a long-term relationship or married to a decent guy, would you give all of that up to be with Denzel Washington or something? He was saying that most women go like, yeah, maybe, but I don't know if it's worth it. If you ask a guy, would you risk it all for that passed out chick behind a dumpster? Most guys would be like, yeah, I kind of like that crackhead look. It's just because this is what it is, right? We are coded. Men are all coded to have sex with as many women as possible to spread our seed. It is the survival of the fittest. And the way we see survival is to, like, keep producing more and more offsprings. At least that's what we're genetically inclined to.
And there's no risk involved, because the reason why a woman, the man keeps getting ugly or attractive in their mind second by second is because they have to carry around a baby for 9 months. But we just go like...
Yeah, that's it.
Anyway, I'm going to go to Saudi Arabia now.
Yeah, because our orgasms last for like maybe 5 seconds as well.
So, 2 seconds max.
Yeah, 2 seconds. So if that's it. So it takes... So two. We're committed for 2 seconds of our lives.
The whole decision process for us could be done in 2.5 seconds.
Yeah.
You've got it down to the rawest...
But come on, having said that, Barnaby's affair choice was fucking mad.
Yeah, you think that she was good? I can't imagine that Barnaby's wife, I mean, some woman that I'm imagining milked cows for 50 years of her life, I can't imagine her being prized. But the woman that I saw, she more or less looks like every woman I've seen in Bali. And as soon as she opens her mouth, you're going to go, wow, your breath is minty fresh, but not from Mentos, from menthol cigarettes.
Is that the missus or the side chick?
The side chick.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the other thing, just while we're on the subject of sex and polygamy in general, the way that society has been morphed, it's really interesting, and I highly recommend that everybody reads this book, Sex at Dawn. If you're willing to be scared for the rest of your life, read it. That's my only cautionary to it.
Wow, what a pitch. I'm going to get this book tonight.
It just peels away all of the crap, which is, okay, why does it take women 10 times as long to orgasm than it does men? It's because in chimp societies, in most ape societies, they have gangbangs. That's why. And that's why, like, most pornography that is... to do with gangbangs, you would imagine it would be mostly women and one guy. Like that old website, theluckyman.com. But theluckyman.com isn't around anymore.
What is theluckyman.com? Is it basically just some random dude who gets to have sex with as many porn stars as he wishes?
I don't know why. It was made a long time ago because it had that... You know how the most advanced thought that people in Hollywood seem to have of the future was when you're graphing a human being, it has the outline of them and then green lines that are kind of vertical and horizontal going beep, 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 graphing someone.
Yeah.
It always started with that. So it must have been from the 80s. And it would just go beep, 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 and then it would just download this guy who was the lucky man for that day, and then he just went into a mansion and had sex with 5 women. That was the premise of the lucky man.
Wow, I'm sold.
Yeah, I mean, that's
he
that's
is
what
a lucky
think.
Man.
Of course, there's no way that you can't not say that he is. And it tears me up inside. Yeah. And yeah,
nah, but
if given the opportunity to do that, but be filmed and ruin all of my future prospects, yeah, I'm going that.
Yeah.
I'm doing the mansion thing for 20 minutes of my life. But the thing is that it was saying that 95% of pornography, when you look at it, is actually the reverse of that. It's 5 guys and 1 woman.
Mm.
When it comes to women in pornography, apparently they're attracted to everything, including bestiality, which just scares the crap out of me. Again, this book peels back a lot of layers. But the thing that men are attracted to is either heterosexual porn or gangbangs. And that's because you can't argue with DNA.
But what about, like, Miss Love? He's into lesbian porn.
No, I'm into lesbian porn.
Oh.
I think that's just because Saudi kings aren't related to the human genome. I think they're pretty much just pudding that can talk. And so I think I'm just a lazy fat Saudi king that's like, yes, you do all the work. It's very nice, very good. It's more of this.
No, I thought a lot of guys were into lesbian porn. I was like a little ashamed of the fact growing up that I wasn't particularly into it.
You were ashamed? That's because you are, in my experience, it's a joke. But in yours, you virtually are a Saudi king. More or less, you're in the elite of Pakistan. All of your friends did live in Aladdin-style houses, eating grapes that serpents fed
them. One of
them
actually lived in a house that was modeled after the Aladdin house. I am not even joking about this. I wish I could show you pictures of this house, and I wish I could tell you more about this guy, but I think I would get arrested. Because this guy is the son of a man who I should not know. Let's just put it that way.
That's right. This is too dangerous for you to mention what his old man's occupation was. What were you, banker, lawyer? Nope. Oh, okay. CIA's most wanted.
Yeah, I wish I could get into that, but I am sure this is not going to end well. So moving on. No, but like I was ashamed of not being into lesbian porn because I thought the most manly thing you could do was to eliminate the dick, and I always thought that it was
necessary.
It's not
the most manly thing you could do. It's the most perverted thing you could do. Just peeking in on other depraved sexual acts. It's not manly.
But what about the political repercussions of this affair? He has quit now. Come on, give me some politics. Give me something.
Well, this is what I'm saying. It's a societal thing. So in the West, in certain aspects of the West, you're drummed out of politics for doing what every guy wishes he could do. And let's be honest, most women do as well. They assume that a third of kids are raised thinking that their dad is the guy that's hanging around, but it's not. Mm. 1 out of 3. So it's either you, me, or Miss Love. One of us. Let's be honest, it is Miss Love. He doesn't look like his dad. So
he's not even here.
Just doing. I mean, Barnaby's a cunt, but again, this is just one of those things. Like with the whole Jake Paul's brother. God, I can't believe. Logan. Everyone hated him. Then he did something that gave you an excuse to hate on him.
Mm.
And that's what put his career on reverse. This is what happened to Barnaby.
I'm curious. Is Logan Paul fucked now?
Well, just anything he does. So he was tasering a dead rat with which we all... Again, like, dude, Barnaby, you get punished in this society for living the dream. Every 10-year-old wants to taser a dead rat. Why is he getting punished for this? No ad revenue for just living the dream.
Is he fucking Ali G? The allergies, oh dude, like if you haven't seen the allergy show, please, our audience, you have to fucking watch it.
Oh, let's be honest, everyone has.
Everyone has.
Everyone from our audience has definitely watched Ali G and would probably have this view as well. Borat was a little bit better, but I'm a fan of Ali G.
Dude, fuck no.
And also this, man, Bruno was just fucked.
Bruno was just
just fucked.
I am an audience member pretty much because I've got that exact view. But yeah, no, so he's now, he's gone, right? So he's no more the deputy prime minister.
Had to step down for it. Same with Bill Clinton.
For being a man.
More or less.
More or less.
That was so offensive. No, but like, okay, I think the problem with him was like most people recognize that him having an affair is whatever, is fine. Most people do. It wasn't like, I don't want like unnecessary, but it wasn't like, weren't all prime ministers doing the same shit?
All politicians.
Yeah, all politicians.
Including women. If you're away from your partner for 9 months of the year, let's be honest, your wife is the side chick.
Oh my god. Oh, so good. So good. Can we please re-record that and keep it from my personal library? Yeah, your wife.
Now it's stage.
So yeah, so Hillary was the side chick and Monica Lewinsky.
Exactly.
Oh, God. Damn. Yeah, okay.
This is the. And on top of this, I because a lot of staffers talk to me, they say that more or less it's just Bill Shorten and Malcolm Turnbull are the only ones that aren't having an affair.
Yeah, I don't think Malcolm is. Malcolm doesn't seem like he is.
No, he's not, and that's because in his relationship, there's psychological reasons for this, and this is my speculation of it. But I'm not even going to go into it because it's not juicy. It's just one of those, like, in the 70s, this would have sounded very profound, but now it just sounds like borderline gazing into crystals. So we won't even talk about that. But the other, yeah, sorry, just to go back to this point, the reason why the female orgasm, back to the sex, right into your good speech. Yeah, the reason why it lasts 10 times as long is because females are designed to have sex with 10 men to optimize. They're supposed to be sperm dumpsters. They're not supposed to be sperm receptacles. They're just supposed to be bukkakied with as much sperm as possible, so there's maximum chance of her being impregnated.
Yeah.
So
I think, wait, just before you finish this, I think those three women that are listening to us are now two women that are listening to us, but anyways, continue.
And those two are just going, yeah, no, he's not lying.
Sperm dumpsters. So yeah, you just know how to make a woman feel good,
special.
You know.
but guys, the same thing, right? Like yeah. we just kind of just yeah, we're just like this sack, just walking around with a sack.
But anyways, yeah, you were saying so they are sperm dumpsters because they want 10 people to fuck them to like up. So basically, to
so
make sure
no
that they
chance
get pregnant.
That they're
yeah.
not gonna not get pregnant if yeah. they're not barren. Something's
but
popping out of
that.
But what
about the antiseptic thing that comes out right after you ejaculate?
Exactly. Yeah. So this is the other point: is that because there's that constant sperm war happening, men in the last two spurts of their ejaculation have just a spermicide. It's just spermicide, which indicates that the biology knows the song and dance of it. It knows that there's got to be a guy pounding her straight afterwards. Mm-hmm. We're talking like one penis out, another penis in instantly. So it's designed to kill off the strongest swimmers, so it's got the best chance of impregnating the woman. That's the song and dance. That's the dance of evolution that we're fighting up against. It's really messy.
Don't
I mean,
us.
God, if the dance of evolution basically boils down to gangbangs and then Barnaby Joyce is drummed out of politics for giving a woman a really good career...
Yeah, okay, so that's...
like, what a gentleman.
No, but... I thought that was the unethical bit. Isn't that what the Labour Party was trying to argue? That we don't care about your affair. What we care about is just basically giving someone opportunities in the public sector who did not really deserve it because she was your side chick. Or, as
again,
we now found out, your actual chick.
Yes, that annoys everyone. Nepotism is the most annoying thing on the planet, but it's also one of the most human things on the planet. Of course, anyone that around you, they're going to be promoted, aren't they?
Yeah, true.
Not someone that just has like a bunch of qualifications on a piece of paper, you go, yeah, but do you have a good ass?
True, true. It works all the time. I think it kind of worked with, like, I gave you that chair because I like you. If it was someone else, I wouldn't have given them that chair, you know? Like, I don't know, man. But, like, when you're the second most powerful man in the country, I think there's a bit more responsibility.
True, and this is the reason why Barnaby Joyce should have been kicked out of politics, not because he had an affair. I think that there should be a discussion, and we should kind of just really be honest about this, that human beings are supposed to be polygamous creatures. Not that I'm ever going to cheat on my girlfriend for that reason.
Hi, too. How are you going?
Thank you for listening. It's always a pleasure that you do. Let's be honest, she's not. She's not a fan of this podcast. I wonder why. Anyway, but the thing is, there needs to be a discussion as to the evolution of it. I understand that in modern context, monogamy actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
It makes a lot of logical sense.
Yeah.
But you're constantly fighting this biology, men and women. There should be a discussion about that. I don't think that Barnaby should have been kicked out for Parliament for that or giving favours to his side chick. What he should be kicked out for is, I remember once that he was having a bonfire with his mates, and there was a reporter that I know who was with him, and he was throwing heaps of gasoline onto this fire and cooking sausages off it. I don't think that guy who thinks that it's okay to eat food that has been cooked by a chemical fire... should be the second most powerful person in the country. Makes a lot of sense as to why he's such a big proponent of gas, I guess. But...
Because he loves sausages.
Duh. How is she going to cook it?
Just gives it a bit of flavour, you know? Gets you high and fed.
Wood. Nah, it just doesn't do the job right.
Yeah.
So he, while cooking cooking sausages... over that chemical fire, was saying that this is what I love about this country. While that, kicking back beers, he had probably 8 cases stacked up between 6 guys. So more than 1 case per human being.
Mm.
This is the second in command human being. When the Prime Minister flies away, he's in charge. And he says at this moment, this is why I love this country. Because you can be me and be the Deputy Prime Minister. That's exactly why you should have been fired, Barnaby. Because you should not be second in command.
Yeah, you've identified the reason why you shouldn't have been there.
Okay, exactly. He shouldn't be in charge because he's an idiot.
Yeah, that's right. I agree with that. But okay, one last thing before we move on. What do you think about this theory? So, agreed with whatever you've said. Primal instincts dictate men to, like, cheat. It's in your nature. You can get mad at it, but... how could you get mad at just nature? But then some people argue that we've moved on to, like, the next step of evolution, which is that somehow monogamous or a certain level of cooperation actually enables us to survive even better. So monogamous relationships is also evolution, but evolution 2.0. And all the people that aren't able to do it and go back to their primal instincts are weaker, and hence society should be frowned upon.
I don't think they're weaker. They're usually the most powerful men in society. They're the most notorious cheaters.
Yeah, it's basically just Bill Burr, right? Like, you're not... as if you're fighting off Scandinavian whores while going back to your Ford Focus.
Yeah, let's be honest. as Chris Rock said, the only men that are monogamous are those that don't have any options.
Oh, man, yeah, it's true.
But the thing is... I don't think that that's true. I think that it's not so much a thing of... it's a 2.0 thing of you fighting your instincts. The reason why monogamy came about was because of the agricultural revolution, because you needed to prove that you owned a piece of land.
Yeah.
And so then you needed to prove that your kid was your kid. So it's kind of hard to do that if 10 men are having sex with one woman. It just is a quite side note as well.
So the things other reason, haven't changed.
Yeah.
It's still hard to tell.
You still don't know.
Why doesn't Miss Love look like a cat? That's a joke, sorry.
Yeah, well, that's what he gets for not being here. That's his fault for having a job that isn't flexible. Yeah, no, the other reason that we know this as well, I love this part of it, is that the reason why women scream so loud while having sex, while guys don't really get that much pleasure out of it and just go, yeah, 2 seconds, nice. Women are screaming, and I heard this the other day, Tu and I just finished having sex, actually, and then we were sitting there lying down in that after period, and we heard a woman screaming from the apartment. Just, the guy was doing such a better job than I could ever hope of doing. He was really giving it to her. Mm-hmm. She was yelling so loud. And the reason is because they are calling on for other men. This is what other primates do when they're just going like, oh, 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 oh. That sound echoes throughout the valleys. So there's 50 other guys going,
so, where's the party at?
Where's the party at?
Damn.
So I don't think that you really... There's no such thing as fighting off evolution. It's just a thing of, we figured out that you're organizing society into purely... This is incredible. No, good on you for studying law, Ali. That's really where the power lies. That is the only thing stopping us from devolving back into that. Just everyone being part of Gangbang 50. That's it. It's purely because of legal reasons. That's the reason why we are in monogamous relationships now. And it does make sense for property rights. And it also makes sense in the modern context, because if you're sitting there with some wife like Eleanor Roosevelt or something going, no, just focus on politics, and you're just being like, God, I just really want to come into something else. And instead, you're just putting all that frustration out into the New Deal.
Yeah,
that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's a good thing. You know, that's pretty funny. I actually just got a message on Tinder from this chick that I matched with, and I thought she was kind of cool. She looked good looking. She looked hot.
Mm.
So, but her message was, I'm into four ways. Are you down?
Wow.
That's it. And I... Yeah, how are you supposed to, like...
That's a... God, Tinder. How does it keep getting filthier? It's a reflection of what we're actually doing, because it's the same as when people tweet and they think it's their inner thoughts, but everyone's reading their inner thoughts.
Yeah.
This is the same thing. This is her version of your classic, do you want to come and get a coffee with me? This is where we are now. You're into four ways.
And you know what? She, because...
No finesse.
And I just replied by saying, not my jam.
No, I'm not into that.
Yeah, not my jam. Rather give my attention to one person. Goes away, because she was just into four ways.
Best four ways. Is she saying one other man and one other girl, or is she saying three men, one girl?
I'm just guessing from what I gather. Unless this is some other joke, can you please explain to me if I missed it? But that's literally what I think. What she's saying is like, so I'm gonna be one of them. She's going to be one of them, and there'll be two more people. It could be like two more dudes. I don't know. Like, I didn't get into it. I think she lost me when she said, four ways, are you down? That's when she kind of did lose me straight away.
Yeah. Four way to me suggests that there's definitely going to be one other guy involved.
Yeah.
And he's going to be touching you.
Yeah, fuck that shit.
Yeah, I'm glad you ran away.
I am a homophobic man. No, I'm not.
Nah, you're just not a freak.
Yeah. No, I'm not homophobic. I just, just have a preference.
Again, not your jam.
Not my jam.
Yeah, all right. So maybe we should move on to assuming is for suckers.
Wow.
It's always the half an hour shot. We just need half an hour. This is what this is more or less morphed into. It's... being 15 again and constantly going, oh, how good would it be to get a hand job with Miss Smithers? But now we just have work lives where you have to sit there and talk about, I don't know, The Bachelor all day. And so finally you just get to go this, and now it's just more socially acceptable to talk to thousands of people and being like, yeah, how good are handies? Oh, do you like getting sucked off? You haven't been sucked off.
Yeah.
So we just need to vent now.
Handies are we've got to move on for a second.
No, we don't.
So handies are usually a problem in my case, because
you got a chode, eh?
Maybe, I don't even know what that
maybe
means.
Maybe. Oh, okay. Well, a chode is a penis that is wider than it is long.
No. What is that? I didn't know that existed. No,
I don't think it does.
It's because, ladies, I am circumcised, hence I don't have the sort of skin that you are trying to pull the shit out of. So
I know your pain.
But anyways, yeah. But so that's you know. More men in Australia need to be circumcised so we can spread the awareness. No one fights for us, you know. There's no, like, leaflets out there trying to say...
Because we are such a minority.
Yeah, we are, right? It's
just us and a bunch of Jews in Bondi. That's it.
That is it. Yeah, so, anyway, so assumptions, that's what we were going to talk about. Man, okay, so this is where it stems from. Jordan and I have been discussing for... a very long time what makes someone a historical figure, almost like how do you get remembered for the rest of your life, what makes anyone just like a page in history at some point, rather than being forgotten. And
that's
a good question. I think I've like narrowed it down. They never... So most of the things, and like, so Chomsky would say this as well. Like one of the examples that Chomsky gives is that...
Which, by the way, someone tweeted me just a picture of a Middle Eastern radical, someone from Al-Qaeda, sitting in a cave, and the text at the bottom being like, and it just say like, praise be to Adani, and then he goes, your podcast is essentially this, and it goes praise be to, and then he's just crossed out Allah and just written Chomsky. Yeah,
I am proud of that. There is nothing wrong with that.
We are fundamentalists. Yeah. You are listening to the ISIS of annoying neurotic Jewish guys that could have been Woody Allen but instead decided to focus on injustices in the world and probably wash their hands 50 times a day. Sorry.
So Chomsky was saying that how even while trying to understand, so he was talking about like the transport industry, and he was saying like how free market people would argue that the way the system works best is that if you've got as many options as possible, competition leads to lower prices, and the more options you have, the better the society works. He's like, so then we've had like Toyota, Ford, like whatever, GM Motors, we've got Toyota from Japan, so we're like increasing even more competition, so overseas competition. But then he goes like, such an American way to look at it too, is just like, what about public transport? You're just assuming that competition only works within this paradigm, and you've taken certain other things for granted, because in the US there is no public transport. And that's what it is, man. Like, even like, so you look at economics, for instance, the four major players in economics, the players that people remember forever and still talk about: Adam Smith, Ricardo, Karl Marx, and John Maynard Keynes. What all four of them have in common is that they never assumed the framework that was laid out before them. They just reinvented the entire thing.
Yes,
it's always that.
You've narrowed it down. You have.
It's and you've that's done it. That's how, and like, okay, so even when like this is something that Jordan and I talk about heaps. Jordan might not think that Jon Stewart is the best host of all time, but like, we've got to give him this much.
No, definitely Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon is the best. But Jon Stewart will clearly be remembered.
Yeah.
And all of these new guys won't, and for the simple reason that he did not assume that a late night program structure needs to be the way it was before him. He added politics to it, he added like all of these different things, he reinvented the format, and that's what will make him remembered for the rest of... I think he'll go on to be remembered for a really long time.
Well, obviously, because every show after it is just this cheap carbon copy. There's so many now. Seth Meyers, Samantha Bee, they're all terrible.
Yeah, they're all...
And the reason why they are terrible is because they're just cookie-cutting sheep. They're just following a format. There is no originality to them at all. They've added no flavor of their own.
Because they have taken what was before them and assumed that to be the way things are supposed to be. So they're not reinventing anything. They've took... Okay, so this is how Jon Stewart did it. This is how it works. This is a successful format. So we're going to keep doing this until people get sick of it. It's the assumption that all of what happened before needs to happen. Whereas... kick this habit in everything ever. Never assume anything. Always just be like, okay, whatever I'm saying, is this based on certain assumptions? And if those, if they are based on those assumptions, are those assumptions even true? And that's the way you'll come up with the most nuanced way of looking at things, and you will be remembered for the rest of your life and times after.
And on top of that, you will just be so much more valuable to society. Does it matter if Samantha Bee exists? Like, if she was hit by a bus tomorrow, do you think it'd just be like a trending tag on Twitter?
Yeah, Jimmy Kimmel will do like a half-crying, half-normal monologue for 5 minutes, and that would be the end of it.
Jon Stewart would get something on the History Channel, I reckon.
Yeah, Google would, like, change the logo, shit like that.
What would they change it to? Just his, like, constantly concerned and tired eyes as the two O's?
Yeah, yeah. No, I think it'll just be, like, his hand going up Bill O'Reilly's ass or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be great, wouldn't it? If Jon Stewart and Bill O'Reilly were killed in the same bus, and so one of the O's is Jon Stewart's face and the other is Bill O'Reilly's.
Oh man, I miss those days when Jon Stewart and Bill O'Reilly used to, like, they had respect for each other too.
It was a great rapport. Yeah, it was so good. The original odd couple.
And Jon Stewart was the only guy that Bill O'Reilly respected.
Mm.
He doesn't respect anyone else. He shits on Colbert.
Because they don't deserve
the
respect.
Yeah, he doesn't. Because, and for the same reason, he respects Jon Stewart because he was an innovator.
Because he's the Hannity of the left.
Yeah,
he's an innovator.
An innovator.
Sean Hannity.
What about Tucker Carlson?
He still sounds like a propagandist from the 30s. He has the same voice. He is the exact opposite of innovation. Sean Hannity.
Sure.
Still to this day, sounding like Obama's death control panels. It's. Who talks like that anymore? This was in the days of like movies like Rosebud. People talk like that back then.
Yeah,
evolve with the times, please.
Kind of ridiculous. This okay. So before ending this assumption bit, I honestly think that this does not just apply to like one thing, like media,
no, it's,
economics.
It's a source
it's
of life.
You want to understand politics? Realize where the assumptions are. You want to understand international relations, what happens? Realize where the assumptions are, and then you will be able to understand what the hell is going on.
That's what I'm really excited about. I think it's because in my next stand-up show, which is just about Malcolm Turnbull's life, and you can come see it if you want.
No, check it out. It's mad.
Yeah.
Let me advertise this.
Thanks for taking up the slack, Ali.
Yeah.
God, it's so hard to find good help these days.
Yeah, if you
want
to be introduced to the alter ego of Malcolm, you've got to check out this show.
Well, it is interesting because it's his entire life, and that's basically what everyone comes out with. The same 40-year-old face that women who see a lot of plays do have. I didn't know that he owned a cleaning business.
He's part Korean.
Did you know that? So go check that out. Go get your tickets, whatever. The thing is, the next one that I'm working on now, that'll be available in 2019, just in time for the election, I think, is that the Liberal Party is always, in every single poll, no matter how bad the economy is doing, always seen as the better economic managers than the Labour Party. Fuck off, Alicia. All right, I'll answer this.
So you're going to take a call.
You are live on the Friendly Geordies podcast. This better be good.
Stop it. I'm doing work.
What?
Well, why'd you ring up? Wait, are you high? She's fucking negative. This is pretty weird that you rang up at this point. We're just advertising the show. Well, because I think this is really interesting to the thousands of people that listen to the Friendly Geordies Drive Home show, I usually...
Tell me how much luggage you want me to add to the flight.
Huh? One bag, please. Anyway, fuck off, Alicia. We're... what?
How heavy is this merch bag?
You realise we're doing a podcast right now.
Hey, I didn't know that you were called Alicia. I missed that story.
Yeah, I mistook the name of someone I've known for 5 years and have talked to almost every day of my life.
Do you actually like mistake her name for Alicia?
Sorry. All right. Now we'll call her Felicia from now on.
Yeah.
You sassy Latino from the Bronx. 25 sounds about 25.
So the mundane activities of a stand-up comedian on tour.
Yeah. Okay, we really need to go, Alicia. This has been, if that is your real name. You Colombian.
Yeah, Felicity.
Wait, did you hang up? She hung up on
me. She hung up. I think she realized. She's like, the only information I'm interested in is how many kilos.
What were we even talking about?
Nah, we've got to move on to the next segment.
All right. So the next one is, I have the best story ever. So, Miss Love has this new puppy, a cattle dog / a border collie. When he got it, I said, why are you getting this? He said, because it's cute. I said, that's nice. You do realize they're farm dogs. He said, yeah, but it's sleepy. I said, that's because it's fucking 6 weeks old. A cattle dog cross a border collie. The two most intelligent dogs that need constant run. My mum used to have one. There was a fox that used to get up on one hill and another fox that got up on another hill, and then one would go, and then the cattle dog would run up, then the other one would go, and then it would run down the hill and run up to that hill to try and get that fox, and the other one would go, and it did that all night. So I'm really selling that they're an extremely intelligent dog, because for years. And it did that all night, and then first thing in the morning would be like, we're going for a walk. They're just Duracell batteries. They're fucking biological Duracell batteries. So anyway, I've got a bulldog, so it's constantly pestering this thing that's supposed to be awake for 20 minutes of the day. It makes koalas look productive.
It does kind of look like a koala. Anyways, yeah, go on.
So they're walking through the bush, because I'm constantly taking them for walks. Usually, because it's a blue heeler, it just constantly stalks my bulldog, which is great because his stupid jowl face looking like a very disturbed Richard Nixon constantly turning around being like, does this disturb you? So he's running through the forest. He loses Indy. Indy's 6 months old. So she's in the bush. I start panicking. I don't know what to do. I'm looking through the bushes. It's just a maze of pathways. This is the great thing about living in Lithgow. Not only do we have our own private Centennial Park, right next to that Centennial Park is a munitions factory where there is always AKs going off. It's just here in Kabul. It's the same thing. Constant gunfire. It's really nice while walking through the forest. I actually like that sound now as much as birds chirping. So
that's fucked.
So anyway, I'm walking through looking for it. Zeus picks up that I'm searching for something, but because he's a bulldog and he's the exact opposite of a working dog, they're actually called that. They're categorized as, quote, non-sporting dogs, which is another way of saying completely useless. Not really bred for anything except for to look like Richard Nixon. That's it. So anyway, he figures out. Through 20 minutes. It takes him 20 minutes to figure out I'm looking for something while calling, going, Indy, try to look for the dog. He starts looking panicky, and then he smells something on the ground. He goes, hoo, hoo, and then just runs off in a direction, and I go, oh my God, he's caught the scent of it. This is like a bloodhound searching for a fox. So he's intensely sniffing the ground, going, hoo, hoo, looking at me as if to go, come on, this way, she's this way. We go under the munitions fence where it says keep out, trespassing, Commonwealth land, it is an arrestable offence to move past this sign. We go under that fence, and then he goes and goes over to a second fence after about 10 minutes of travel through. I've never gone this deep into the munitions territory. Dang. Because you're not supposed to.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be shot up by a machine gun.
Yeah.
And so we go up to the second fence, and this fence says, no, seriously, for your own good, please stay out. Like, if being going to jail isn't enough of a deterrent for you, maybe just being alive might be. We're just begging you at this point, don't go past this one. And Zeus obviously goes underneath that. So I crawl under that, freaking out. He's intensely sniffing the ground, going, this way, this way. So he runs in, beating this path through. He eventually gets to a point where he just pricks up, bolts through bush, because this is the other thing about bulldogs. Their primary mode of attack is not biting. If they were a little Pokemon, it would just have one option. It would be like, you chose headbutt. Yeah. That's all they have. They're just a biological bulldozer. So he just completely runs through shrub, filled with Scottish thistle and lantana. So he comes back. His tongue is bleeding. He's got cuts all over his face because he's just got... He goes, this way. He's made a path for me. So I'm running to that path. And it's a wombat hole.
Oh.
He thought I was looking for a fucking wombat.
That must have been fun, though.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, it was a fun day.
Yeah.
But it was just because a few, maybe 2 or 3 months before that, he got in a fight with a wombat and just wanted revenge. Just wanted a round two.
That's interesting, though. That's fun. And you know,
I mean, that's it. But like, he was so... You could see it on his face of like, I did good, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And at that point, like... I just had to burst into laughter and was going, yeah, for you.
Yeah.
For you, you did great.
No, you did great too. The fact that you crawled through all those fences, I'm proud of you, my boy.
Oh, me too. I mean,
I would have just like
it called for it.
Yeah, it did.
A dog would have been slightly lost, and then someone would have taken it to the vet. It was do or die. I had to crawl under two fences that were literally criminally indicting and probably legally sketchy that I announced that.
But man, what a cliffhanger! Sure, the climax wasn't spectacular, but man, the story was a fucking cliffhanger. I was like, what the fuck do they find? I was kind of hoping that maybe they find a body or some shit, and then he records and becomes the actual Logan Paul of Australia.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
And then be like,
yeah,
yeah, sorry,
Vice wasn't wrong after all.
I
rescind it. Yeah, the thing, I don't know, I could not get over that like how simple. It just really defined the difference between a human brain and a dog's brain. Dogs just really, really like getting into fights with native animals.
Yeah.
That's their jam.
Yeah.
That's just like how...
That's their version of going to the pub or something, right?
Yeah. No, not even going to the pub. It's like you reading up on the history of Pakistan or some geopolitical book. That is the thing that gets them going in the morning, that's their purpose. Their purpose for life. His purpose for life is to get in a fight with a wombat.
I remain corrected. For most people, that is going to the pub.
Yeah, you're right, actually. You're 100% right. It's just going to the pub.
Yeah, as if. They're just at work because they can go to pub after it.
Anyway, let's talk about the human version of a bulldog, your friend Adib, who is just a moron that just lucked into living a really good life.
Yeah, so this is another story. Tales of Pakistan.
God, I love these. So much better than books, and so much better than freaky stories. None of them were freaky. All of Ali's stories are terrifying.
Yeah.
It's just his Saturday.
This one's not terrifying, but this one's just like, it tells you how affluence kills people. Just, in fact, like, the reason why I'm doing this, shout out to Gabe, who came up to me. Gabe is just this guy that I work with, and he's also a listener of the pod.
Does he have dreads?
No, he doesn't have dreads.
Does he aspire to be an actor?
No, I think he just aspires to, like, get an apartment in Lyon.
Where's that?
In France. He's Italian. He's actually a pretty cool dude. But so he came up to me.
He must be one of the only people in your entire work that doesn't look like they do more nangs than eat meals.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But here's the thing. Here's where we differ.
Yeah.
A lot. And we're not going to talk about this. He's a vegan. And he's evangelist vegans, as in, like, not only is he a vegan, he does not like the fact that a lot of people in this world aren't.
So he's basically somebody that should be a member of PETA, and if you told him what PETA is, he'd be very interested.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I think he knows what PETA is. He's
also lazy.
Yeah. I don't think he's lazy, but yeah, he's just discovered veganism recently, and he's really, really into it. And he thinks that we should talk about it, as do a lot of other people. Veganism, for some reason, has just become like a trend again. I know it's been there.
No, it's just because they are the dietary version of evangelists. They are the most hardcore section of diets there is.
Damn right.
Even more than the paleo diet. Anyone who does the paleo diet goes, do or don't, I don't care.
Yeah. But anyway, so he came up to me and he was saying, I was listening to your story about waiter wars, and he was working out at the gym and he had to walk out of the gym because he was laughing that hard. So...
Oh, any stories about third world rich people that have the intelligence of a monkey are always going to be great.
Yeah. So,
because they can just get away with anything.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
and they shouldn't be. They barely know how to ride.
Dude, he barely does. He's just like, he doesn't know how to ride. But so when he turned about, 18, 19, because his parents thought, such a colonial hangover, but they thought that anyone that goes to the UK to get an education is
instantly great.
Yeah, is instantly great. That's just like, and the requirement is just going to the UK. Yep. That is, because like makes back sense. In the day, that's where like fucking everyone went, right? Because
yep.
like British subjects and shit. Anyway, so his dad, his parents are like, you've got to go there. But he doesn't study. He can't read. So he goes to the UK and just gets this sham degree where he just pays off money and chills at his house the whole time for like 3 years. Mm. Like if you Google this uni, you can't find it.
Please say that on his diploma it says PhD in ballin'.
I wish that was, because that'd be more accurate. But it was some bullshit like Bachelor's of Business Administration, some shit like that.
Yeah.
So he comes back and then he's like, okay, so I'm gonna, what do I do now? So I'm gonna do a business. So what he does is he sets up interviews to hire people.
Yeah.
These MBA graduates. Yeah. That have like done shit in life, have actually studied heaps, but aren't as rich as this guy. Mm. So they're looking for jobs now. So he puts out like a news ad to hire an MBA graduate. Now we interview this MBA graduate who is definitely older than us. We aren't qualified to do anything, and now we're just like sitting there like a bunch of friends just going like, so what do you want to do in life? Like, to this guy. and he's just like, and he's, because he's at a job interview, he doesn't know who these fucking kids are. So he's like, he's behaving like he's talking to like the CEO of IBM. And like, the guys that he's interviewing him are infinitely dumber than him. Anyway, so he hires this guy, but he doesn't know what the business does. So he just like, so he gets like an office space, and then he gets that MBA dude to come in every day. And the MBA dude at one point was just like, "Sir, what do we do? What are we doing?" Because Adeep didn't know the answer to that, he just goes like, "What do you think we should do?" And the guy's like, "Wait, so I tell you what to do?" He's like, "Yeah, so that's your first job. You come up with a thing that we can do."
Your first job,
yeah,
is to set up a business
for someone
as an employee.
He's just got like a fucking office space, and then what happens? Like, eventually, this guy leaves because he's like, "I've got shit to do in life. I know I'm getting paid, but this is not worth it." Like, I went to fucking Cambridge or some shit.
This is the best part of this. That this was during an economic downturn. Yeah. There was no chance of this man being hired.
No.
In Pakistan.
Yeah.
And it was better than hanging out with Adeep.
Yeah, it was definitely better. He's like, he probably found it very difficult to get a job anywhere else. But like, that job was eating him. Because it wasn't a job. It was just him coming to office and just like, every time he'd ask a question, Adeep would just say, oh, if Adeep was there. Adeep would go, like, once a week to this place. And that, too, at, like, 3 p.m. when he would wake up. And so he'd go...
So it was just him in the hang-in-there calendar all week.
But the only thing that Adib would do, this was his performing measure of performance. He'd ask the guy, so he hired another guy to like make tea or some shit. So he'd ask him, like, did the NBA guy come into work or not? And that was just the performance measure. So
it's so good. It's just Yilmaz, but with $1 billion.
So then the guy quits, and Adib eventually gives up the office space because he still doesn't know what he's gonna do. And by the way, this process is like 8 months. This isn't a quick process. And then like he just comes up and he decides, I know what I'm gonna do in life. And he's like, what are you gonna do, man? He's like, I'm just gonna get like a shitload of cows.
Oh, this
and sell
is, oh,
their
this
milk.
Is brilliant. Yes. Continue.
So then he gets.
But why did it? Was there any sound logic behind this? Is cow milk rare in Pakistan?
No. I'll tell you why it is. Because the sort of clan that he belonged to, I don't know much about like the clan intricacies. But like, so one of the clans that he belongs to is known for selling milk, but they're also very ashamed of the fact that they sell milk. So when he came up with that idea, all of the other friends were just like, were asking him, oh, of course, because you're from that clan, you're going to sell milk. And he get really defensive. That's not what I'm going to do. This is like a profitable business. That's why I'm doing it. Anyway, so he buys cows, and they're all in this fucking farm. Somewhere like an hour away from where we lived, and then like he got these cows, and then every other day. So now his biggest problem was he would come up every day and just like he wouldn't go to this place. The people working over there would tell him shit like, "Oh, the cows aren't getting pregnant," and then he would say, "Oh, that was like his issue." And I was just this was a bizarre issue. Like, the cows aren't getting pregnant. How is that an issue? Like, I lived in the city. We didn't have cows. It's just such a farmland. So that was his biggest problem. And then he found out that the reason why they weren't getting pregnant was because he was fucking, there was this disease that had spread that just basically allows the cows not to get pregnant. So he would get these massive bulls, import them from like Australia and shit, and he'd think that, yeah, the Aussie bull is gonna get my cow pregnant, and they wouldn't. Anyway, and then so his business was it was
medieval peasant mind in the 21st century. So with an inexplicable amount of money.
So then this is the best. This is how this story ends. So now he has like, but he's still getting these cows, and then eventually he figures out what this disease is, and then he starts to cure it, and then his parents changed their mind about him. So his parents were saying, we don't want you to live here, we want you to just move to Dubai. So then he's like, nah, but I want to live here, like I've got this business now. Like, nah, just leave, go to Dubai. I don't think you're safe here anymore. They had like this issue where like someone they knew got shot, and they got really paranoid. So they were like, so he asked them, he's like, so what am I gonna do with all the cows? Like, yeah, just leave them. So there's a bunch of cows in a farm that are just now, because he just went to Dubai and like he just left the cows, and they were just chilling in this farm. We're like, so what do we do now? And he was just like, I don't know, dude, you're free, bitch. Just go. Go in the middle of like a fucking city area. They're like free to go to the wild. But I hear that all of them got stolen and shit.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Well, they're like, they're Jersey cows, right?
Yeah.
They're very expensive cows in the middle of one of the poorest places on earth. In the poorest province on earth, I mean, in the country, right? Where he had to import truckloads of water to feed these cows.
Because
in a place
the city is the richest in the country, but it does not have a water supply.
Mm.
Or like, there's too many people to depend on the existing water supply. So he would get water. And the other thing that I realized, talking to him, he was saying that the other problem that he would face was that he'd get the milk, but then because it was so hot, that by the time by the time the milk actually reached the people that were supposed to sell it, it would just go bad. So then he started putting in ice. But then when the milk would go to the people, they'd say, oh, you're fucking with us, you're mixing water into milk. So just like his business didn't work out. And then eventually he had to abandon it. So that's a snapshot of how...
The many adventures of a D.
Yeah, the many adventures of a D.
This is great. This is, I like everything. I really think, Ali, that you have lived life 10x, as Jake Paul would say. Every story that you have is just a really extreme story of everyone else's childhood of, once I wanted to play Tenchu, and then my friend said, fuck off, so I bit his arm. Yours are always way better than that. Stay tuned for more.
Yeah, stay tuned for more. I've got a few. Some of them are downers. We had to, like, not tell one.
Yeah, edit one
of
them out.
Which was definitely a downer, but I am going to tell it someday. And yes, I'm going to get a lot of hate from people, but it's this guy. This guy is clearly a ridiculous man, just, like, removed from reality, and the next story is going to be Adib gets dogs.
Oh, no. Not that one.
So
Again, it is just Yilmaz if he was born in the third world and could get away with this shit without the RSPCA going, you're going to jail.
He should be in jail.
For a litany of reasons.
So many reasons.
All right, anyway, all right. We'll see you next week.
See ya.